What's going on, guys? Back with another video recorded on March 13th. Remember what episode I'm on, but that's irrelevant. This is going to be titled The Paranoid's Guide to Vintage Tech. The Paranoid Guide's Pipeline to Vintage Tech and Privacy. Now, I'm starting to realize that sometimes older vintage tech, non-internet connected tech, even less outdated, maybe considered outdated tech, is becoming somewhat of an interest of mine. I mean, I like film cameras. I definitely like stuff that is maybe older but repairable, and this is kind of like more of a repairable perspective. This is why I like using older tech, because generally it's fixable, or if it's not fixable, it's at least inexpensive to replace. And there's no subscription, there's no, connection to the internet, you have to pretty much only use this proprietary X, Y, and Z. I know there's obviously some vintage techs that it is like that, but that's one of the problems. Is we're now in an era where being able to fix stuff is not really a thing. It's becoming increasingly much harder, and I don't like that. One of the things is I've come across like channels that like glorify like, old tech, and they realistically don't nearly understand. They don't nearly understand in a sense that this is coming from like a place of joy. But in reality, it's actually crazy, because it's so much easier to fix this stuff. And I don't know. I just think that it's time to start looking at stuff back then versus stuff now. From a usability standpoint, stuff that I've come across, stuff that I use, stuff that I'm planning on using, and maybe give you a look into a future where you have the ability to buy stuff and be able to fix it, keep it, maintain it, and long-term wise. We're going to start with one of my relatively favorite things. Especially from a usability standpoint and a repairability standpoint. It's a company called Ploopy. They're pretty expensive headphones, though. I want a shock value. I mean, no shock sticker price. I'm just going to tell you right off rip. They're $250. They're not portable. It's not meant for portability. Ploopy is an open source 3D printable company. They make pretty much hackable hardware and hackable devices, and repairable and 3D printable. They have a mouse, open source. It's $120. Would I pay that much for a mouse? Probably not. But I get it. They give you all the stuff to do it. All right, hey, here's everything. Now, they obviously made the software and everything, but a lot of this stuff is supposed to be, hey, you can fix it in case it breaks. And that is something that you have to keep in mind. Now, Ploopy does make... Apparently, a lot of people like these headphones. It's good quality. Like, they print it themselves. They give you all the design. It comes with an amplifier programmed and tested. They apparently come with a built-in DAC and an onboard EQ, I believe. The amplifier is plugged into a computer via USB. USB provides power to the amplifier board and the headphone, as well as the digital audio signal. They're not particularly appropriate as they require a large amount of power plugged in to them. To a mobile device, will likely drain the device's battery quickly. You can still do it, though. Try it out. You know, check it out. You can essentially, like, I would like this for just Graphene OS, because I use wired headphones on it, but they kind of suck, and they that's a whole nother rant that I could spend 30 minutes bitching about on me finding inexpensive headphones. What I want to know is why wired headphones cost just as much as wireless. It's fucking crazy. And not even good wired headphones. They're like shitty wired headphones that you get from like Walmart. And it's like they cost the same. And for me to use them with my phone, I need a fucking dongle. Which is another insane thing. Like, why are inexpensive devices getting better features than expensive devices? Like, why am I getting a Pixel 9 Pro XL and I end up losing a headphone jack, no removable battery, and the whole point that it can't be water resistant or waterproofed to a certain degree is a bunch of bullshit. It's already been like discussed. So this is like where I want to go backwards. Like, this is like I got an MP3 player, I got a set of like cheap inexpensive wired headphones, and then I have a pair of wired and / wireless headphones. But they're not repairable. If they break, they, you know, they're made with cheap plastic, they break, I have to buy another set. Ploopy kind of solves this. They're like, hey, if this breaks, you can 3D print it. We sell replacement parts, you know. We sell it headphone full kit, disassembled. If you want it fully assembled, you pay. So you could technically buy this disassembled for $130. That's reasonable if you got time. Spend the extra $100 if you don't got time. You know, it doesn't look like it's hard to put together. It includes everything necessary to build the headphones and the amplifier. You will have to build the headphones before they can be used. It doesn't look, pretty much, you need a Phillips screwdriver, a soldering iron, a solder, tweezers, a glue stick, and scissors. That's it. A lot of people that are comfortable shouldn't really care. So you're paying them to get assembled for you. And if you don't, I like that they give you the option. Just same thing with the trackball. Not fully assembled, and then they have a fully assembled one. $200 fully assembled, you know, no thank you for a mouse. Maybe down the line. I am looking at a fully open source keyboard that's hackable, open source, repairable, you name it. I kind of like that idea, but I digress. So the next, you know, perspective is, you know, why should I care about fucking open source headphones? Well, same thing with your music. Why should you care about owning your music, physical media? You should, because now, I mean, you look at it. Oh, what's the average subscription price now? Average subscription price is, where is it? Per year, the average consumer, the average user pays $33 a month for all the apps and subscriptions combined, which includes in-app purchases. This monthly average is $1,000 a year. The average American has 4.5 subscriptions, according to a recent survey. Consumers pay $77 each month, or 924 annual subscriptions. That's fucking insane. That's a lot. Spotify's costs. $120 a year. That's crazy. Not to own the media. How many, like, you can, you know how much fucking music you could buy with $1,000? A ton. So let's think about this logically. You could go on Amazon or any website. Good luck finding this shit in fucking store, by the way, because I've looked. I go online to a company. I don't generally buy stuff from Amazon. I just go online to a company, like Best Buy, if I need to, Micro Center, you know, XYZ. Local if you can. Bring cash if you care about the privacy aspect. It's not, this isn't really necessarily just about privacy. This is about, can I go get it? You can go get an MP3 player for like $30. There's one I'm looking at right now online. It takes replaceable AAA batteries. Recording, it has recording. You can record it on it. FM radio, expandable up to 128 gigs. That's a lot. That's a lot for music. You can put on 8 gigs. On the internal memory, you can store up to 2,000 songs. It supports MP3 and Wave. Not your high end, but you have FM radio, all for $30. If you want, they have a 40 gig model. Replaceable batteries. Never worry about power. Replacing one at a time. Get some rechargeable batteries. No USB design. You don't need to connect anything. I would still put 32 gigs memory and 32 storage can store up to 2,000 songs. Supports 120. I guess there's a lot of options. Up to 2,000 songs. That's a lot. Think about, you don't need to buy 2,000 songs. I guarantee you come across an artist, you find them, pay $8. Say you spend $1,000 in your first year in music. Music average CD price. For a full CD, a full album, $20. So, like, what is it? Do I not have a calculator? Online calculator. Wow, I'm retarded. I just like think about this stuff on the fly too, so bear with me. But so if you say average CD price cost $20, and people are spending $1,000 a year on subscription. So if you buy what, 10, that's 200. You buy 100 CDs times $20, that's $2,000. So you could buy 50 CDs, 50 songs. Like, some songs cost like 99 cents. Like, you know, you can buy individual songs. Digital albums, $8, $20. Some even, artists, they sell their shit for like, you know, $8 for the digital version. So you can download it, put it on your MP3, and you have it forever. And you don't gotta worry about if Amazon, you could buy 50 CDs. That's a lot. That's a lot of CDs if you think about it. Think of 50 artists. That's one option. Another option, if you don't trust the software, if you don't like the fact that it's not repairable, there is something called, and it's a very beautiful device, I would consider even getting it. And you could put podcasts on it. You could find your favorite podcast, download it, throw it on here. It's endless. It's not just music. You can play this. It's a music player. It kind of looks like the iPod Touch. It's $250. Again, I'm just throwing these prices out because some people just don't have that kind of money. But if you're spending $1,000 a year, by the way, $250, say you spend $500. $500 on the open source headphones, and then $50 total with the MP3 player. The MP4 player, music player, whatever you want to call it. Think about it. You have another $500 for music. And then you're good. You're subscription free for the rest of your fucking life, hopefully. But it's called the Tanagara. It's 100% open source hardware running open source software, which makes it customizable, repairable, and upgradable. You can upgrade the audio. Like, you can upgrade, not the audio, you can upgrade the components in there. High-quality audio with modern affordance. It has a DAC built into it and an amplifier. I don't know these words, like, mean personally. It also supports Bluetooth, by the way. That's kind of crazy. And as possible via firmware updates. got a it's got a nice screen, a track player. It's written, I believe, in C and C++. So if you're familiar with C++, you can customize this to your heart content, designed to help make yours the case. You can redesign the case if you want. You can make your own case. You can, the faceplate, it's got a faceplate, it's battery and storage. It's a standard LiPo pouch cell with three pins and a GIST connector. This is pretty much available. You can replace this super easy. It relies on full SD cards, up to 2 terabytes. Free to ask, assuming you don't need that quite much room, obviously. It tells you the technical specs. It's running an ESP32 Wolver eBoard. It supports tons of files. Firmware supports, right now, the firmware supports Wave, MP3, FLAC, Opus, and Vorbis codecs. Bluetooth audio supports SBC only, more, you know. Power. It talks about, it's got about a 20-hour battery life, standby battery life of years. It could just sit there and do nothing. So it could just sit there and do nothing and just be good. And then they have Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, Type-C. Type-C, by the way, fucking based. Yes, it's not a battery, like a physical replaceable battery, like a replaceable, rechargeable. It's a rechargeable battery, but they said you can replace it. The RAM in it is decent. It's 8 megabytes. I don't know if more even fucking matters. If you can do MP3, FLAC, OGG, Opus, and more on the way, then you're fine. Dual core CPU. I mean, all that specs are relevant. It's $250 though. It's got support documentation, manufacturer plan. They've thought about, like, a lot about the logistics, the risks, the challenge. And apparently, I don't know, it's so, like, this is a very, you gotta remember, this is a small company. But here's the thing. This is like a small group of people. Here's the thing. If you end up saying buying this, it's repairable. It's fixable. If you know how to use types, if you can script in or program in C++, you can fix, you can maintain this for the rest of your life. You can go fucking learn C by the time that they, you know, all the devs die or leave or abandon the project. It's written C++. So you can learn the programming language by the time it ends of life, and you can maintain it yourself. That's the point. You're paying $250, but you're paying $250 for something that you have an endless goal. So say you could download all your podcasts, this one, all your music that you need, purchasing legally, optionally, you know, obviously, or convert all your CDs to digitally, and then you have something that you actually own at the end of the day, and you're not fucking paying for access. The problem with paying for access is they can change their TOS, they can kick you off the platform, they can ban your account, your country could make it illegal. I got a lot of options to be able to make, to buy CDs. You know what I mean? Financially, if my country makes it illegal to own CDs, I can just pirate it. Not that I would recommend it, but if... No, actually, if piracy is your only option because purchasing legally is an option, I'm okay with piracy. Like, that's not even an extreme take or anything. But you can, again, download it. And then you're not connected to the internet. You're good. You're solid. You can enjoy your music distraction-free on your long drive or your fucking run or your train or hop or plane or whatever. And you don't need an internet connection to listen to your music. Yes, you can do this all on your phone, but then that takes up storage. And that also requires you to generally obtain it and then listen to over headphones that could die, you know, on your 8-hour flight, because it's got 16 hours of battery. You can just pick headphones that you never have to charge. That's the good thing about wired headphones. There's no charging needed. Truly an innovation that I think we misunderstand. Now, say you don't want to spend that much again. Like I said, you have another option. Just go buy an MP3 player. They're cheap. They're affordable. Yeah, it's not open source. Yeah, it could take a shit and you'd be pissed. But you'll be out $30. I mean, that's a huge difference. Hackaday is like another website you can check out for open source projects where it gives you ideas on like, do I need this to be connected to the internet? No, I don't. So I've been reverting. I have an MP3 player, like I said, and I have headphones, and I put my music on there. I probably wouldn't go as far as a portable DVD player, because that would be too cumbersome. But I'm thinking of very small, lightweight stuff that doesn't require a ton of I gotta now to carry 16 devices with me. I guess film photography in my spare time, and it is extra stuff I gotta carry. But I like doing it. Not everyone likes doing that. This is can fit in the fuck your fucking hand. You could put this in your bag and forget about it, and say that you forget like, oh, your battery died, your phone dies. Say your phone dies. Now you have still like a way to listen to media. Another really cool project is something called the Pi Zero computer by Navigator. This is a little bit more hand. This is very hands-on. It's the Pi Zero bike computer. It's an open-source bike computer. Again, if you're a cyclist and you don't want to spend $200+ on a fucking Garmin and get locked into their ecosystem and have to use theirs, and it's proprietary, it's an open-source bike computer based on the Raspberry Pi Zero WWH2W with GPS and ANT Plus. The parts, you're going to spend, I'm thinking, maybe 100, 150 bucks with everything. They have a GitHub. I'll link to GitHub in the show notes. Definitely look out this project. It's got tracking data is uploaded in real time to ThingsBoard.io. I mean, it's got logging. It's got sensors. It's got everything you can think of. It's written in Python to make it very easy to maintain and debug and figure out. It's got GPS, display, heart rate, speed, cadence, power, light control, etc. Like you have tons of options. What comparing it to like other projects where you have to pay for all that like that and the like bike computer. I've looked at bike computers. They're like $300+, sometimes $200 to $300, and then you gotta run their software. And if it breaks, you got to deal with their support, and it's fucked up, and I don't know. It's just kind of stupid. It's stupid because it's all it is just fucking maps. And again, you can run all this on all the it runs with organic maps. You can run everything locally. No cloud, nothing needed. Nothing you need, nothing, everything you need and everything you don't need. It's pretty cool. And I've definitely gone down the rabbit hole after. I don't know why I looked this up, but I definitely went down the rabbit hole. Pretty much developed from a Hackaday article. This is developing an open source bike computer. It's cool. A lot of people in the comments didn't get the fucking they didn't get the plot because they're like just use foam, but it's. I think a lot of people forget that open source hardware and open source hardware and open source software isn't about as much just as free as in freedom and respecting my privacy. It's more about I get to take control of my digital footprint. I get to take control of my data. I get to take in control of how repairable it is, depending on my skill level and my willingness to increase my skill level. These are all things that I think people take for granted because they're so used to everything being served to them. Now, I understand it that you can't do everything yourself. You can't make everything self-hostable. You're going to rely on some form of way of proprietary software or an outside source to do that. But it's beyond that. It's beyond being perfect. It's really about having control and ownership, because you go to a lot of these things become subscription models. What if there's like a month you don't got that money, that $8, you know what I mean? That $10, that 30 average $33. What if you only got $33 that month? And then they just, oh, sorry, you lost access. And now you can't listen to your music. You can't, navigate. You can't do this. This is why I like organic maps, because whether I have cell phone service or not, whether I have Wi-Fi service or not, I have access to my maps. And with Graphene OS and Android 15 implicating Wi-Fi scanning level location and a location database that doesn't require cell phone service, but it requires just being near Wi-Fi access points, you can have really good, accurate positioning with that being implicated through the sensors, which is really awesome. And I think the Apple scanning, they have a public service that other people can use. Now, from a privacy standpoint, that might throw some red flags, but Graphene OS, I think in my last video, they said the Graphene OS is going to work on a localized version of it. So that's something to think about. Meshtastic is offline communications. It allows you to, communicate with people within a certain distance using LoRa. It is proprietary, but you can have now conversations with people, within a certain distance, no cell phone service needed. Is it 100% usable? No. Is it 100% perfect? No, but it is end-to-end encrypted. The encryption is okay. And also it takes the need of a cell phone infrastructure out, and it puts you in control. If you're living in like a very cheap and maybe it's not cheap. If you're living in like an area where they don't have enough internet infrastructure, or if maybe they're a little authoritarian on the way you can obtain a cell phone, like a SIM. Some countries and companies within those countries do require you to have a, government ID. That's something to kind of think about. You end up needing cell phone service, and you don't want to spend that kind of, money on it because it's too expensive, and you don't want to be tracked, and you don't want your government to have your ID held in a database for a fucking phone number. Meshtastic is really based. It's very inexpensive boards. You can get them for a couple, like ESP32 boards for, $10, $15, maybe less, depending on where you can source it and where you live. And then you have a way to do communications over the radio. Obviously, end-to-end encrypted is, very loose, but something to think about. I just think that it's good to take into account what you demean private and you want to stay private, and how you want to obtain that, and what media you want to own, especially when you purchase it. They have solar-powered e-readers with, that you can get. There is not really an affordable open-source e-reader. There is the Pinote. It is kind of expensive, in my opinion, it's very expensive. It's very out of the reach of a lot of people. But it's an e-ink tablet. You could use it as an e-reader. It's like $400, I believe. I'm not trashing them for it, but that's a very steep price for some people. And I get that it's probably, there's a reason probably behind it. It's probably not cheap to make, or maybe there's not a demand for it, so people aren't buying it. Down the road, I might purchase it. Their price for it is still pretty high. It's $400. I'm not saying go get a fucking Kindle because of that. I mean, look at Kindle doesn't even let you download your books that you purchased anymore. Again, a book subscription. Fucking insane. Just get a library card at that point. I think the library card is the most based way to do it. Like, literally, just go to your local library, get a library card, done. It's about as free and open source as you can get. And it just takes your time. Just don't forget to return those library books. Otherwise, NSA will come after you. Or Interpol, probably. Even, you could get something called the Kobo e-reader. It's not open source. But you can use open source software with it. And it's somewhat inexpensive. It's like half the cost. $130 for a black and white. Now they have an Ellipsa that's like a markup ebooks plus creative notebook and has a stylus, and it's like $400. If you're going to spend that much on a Kobo, just go get the Pine. Honestly, just go get the Pine Pine Note personally. But they have some inexpensive refurbished e-readers, certified refurbished. I don't think people should have a fucking problem with refurbished, because it's kind of nice to be able to carry around, you know, maybe like 30 to 40 books and not have to fucking carry around 30 to 40 actual books. They have a Kobo Libra color. It's kind of nice, ergonomic, waterproof design. And it just sucks that it's not open source, but there's a way you can get open source stuff working on it. And you can, if you can have a journal. It has a daily planner, book club, prep, and more. I don't know if that needs internet connection. If this doesn't require internet connection, then awesome. You know, that's something that you could definitely, like, think about. The battery lives on e-ink devices are crazy good. They're a little pricey, but they're not the Amazon demons, in my opinion. And they have a pretty good commitment to their products. I've met people that have used them. And that's where it's good to go down like a list of things like, what subscription am I paying for? How can I push away from it? Like if you have a cloud subscription for your storage, like for your photos, just go get a flash drive, hard drive, a NAS, and move that and use Image. I use Image. It's really good. There's PhotoPrism. It's very good if you want the organization, the tagging, and everything. Music, same thing. Go get an MP3 player. Literally the cheapest, freest possible option you can get. I mean, or a Tangia. I can't. Whatever the name is. I'll link that in the show notes just so people can find it, because I'm going to fuck up that name. Your movies. Don't even get me started. just go buy fucking your movies at this point. Just go buy them. People talk about, that can be expensive. Well, so can $1,000 a year. Do that for 10 years. That's 10 grand. You know, that's a lot of money. The whole, like, subscription model gets people into it because they spend $8 a month. That now they're spending $33 every month. You know, it's consistent. It's forever. So, like, that's something that I'm going to keep driving into the ground. Just, what? You can go get, like, average DVD. You just go to the fucking dollar store if you have it in your country, or, like, a bargain bin. And, again, in most of these countries where these subscriptions are, like, way too fucking expensive anyways, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like they have a choice. If you don't have a financial way to do it, and if there was never a financial plan to get you into that system, pirate it. Literally. They're not going to be hurt that one person from fucking Zimbabwe is pirating their shit. I wouldn't even care if someone was pirating this. Even if I put this behind a paywall and I was charging $5 to get access to it, and someone sent it to somebody in fucking, fucking Brazil, in the poorest city in Brazil, and they got to listen to this, and it got him one step to a freer, more open source society, or software in general, or just a little bit of education, I would sleep well at night. I wouldn't fucking cry or hurt. Even if everyone did it, even if it was like a net zero perspective, I think people should have the right to access information, and we shouldn't paywall this. If you're also not making it affordable or easy for me to get XYZ, aka music, aka movie, aka this, in terms of entertainment, then you're essentially just telling me that go fuck myself. And I think that sucks. I think people should have the right to not only information, but they have the right to be able to view this stuff. That's how I view it. I could be wrong. People can say that I suck for it and it's not right and it's lame and it's pee pee poo poo. But you know what? Suck my balls. That's generally how I look at it. They're obviously, these companies are making millions and millions and millions of dollars. They're not financially being bankrupted by it. Piracy has been around for a long time, so that's just like my thought process on it. Obviously, if you have the money, don't pirate shit, because that's kind of retarded. Just buy it. You know, there's nothing wrong with buying media. That's just like there's nothing wrong with buying free and open source software. But this is my perspective. If it just makes it difficult. Now, after you go down this like rabbit hole and you find an MP3 player and you start listening to it and you don't need your phone to be on your phone constantly, it's kind of nice, because then you start like freeing and open sourcing like kind of like everywhere. Like you get an RSS feed then, and then you're getting all your news sent to you and in a way that makes it much more palatable, so you're not being bombarded by ads. I use my own RSS feed, self-hosted, fresh RSS, but there's tons of readers out there that you can go look into. So you can just get your news and stuff like that. That's how I get a lot of my ideas, or like just finding stuff and projects from Hackaday and like other websites I go to. There is another really cool physical product that I came across as well. And this is called Buzzkill. This is like on the security side of that, and this is like a interesting perspective on like if you travel or anything. Buzzkill is a USB dead switch. You pretty much plug it into your laptop. Once it gets disconnected or disarmed, it pretty much destroys it. It destroys the computer. It can either shut it off or destroy the computer. Like, not literally destroy it, but like delete all the data. There's Buzzkill, there's Day Tripper, UBV Impulse Reader, Windows 10 Dynamic Lock, that's Near Lock, and then Blue Proximity. Apparently, some of these are not in active development. They don't support or they don't support Linux, or they're not free and open source. And this is open source. It's got good development documentation. Just check out their website, Buzzkill, BUSKILL. I'll put it in the show notes still, just so that people have access to it. Again, a physical product that I own, that I purchased, that has usability. I've just come across a lot of this stuff going down the rabbit hole of vintage tech in general. Like, and you don't realize how much vintage tech you use, probably, or like older tech that works and you don't think about it. Like flash drives. I use tons of flash drives. I have a ton of them. I use them for various different things. I still use, again, like an analog camera. Like, I have a digital camera, but I still use a lot of printed photos, like analog photos, like film photos. I do a lot of film because I like film. Am I good at it? No, probably not. It's inexpensive ThinkPad. The Linux community has got to be keeping ThinkPad and Lenovo like financially afloat. ThinkPads, like webcams that are repairable, even microphones that are like finding an open source repairable microphone is pretty impossible today. It's just, I think the best place to start is your media, though. You'll eventually hit the hardware side at some point where you're like, why do I, like, I know it's great that we went from like 13 things in our pocket to one, but I don't think it's actually as good as everyone makes it out to be, because we're so reliant on, our reliance on it is crazy. It's just a crazy, it's crazy. It's crazy that we're so reliant on one device. If that device, you're essentially a subscription from it too. Like, you have to have cell phone service or access to internet to use everything. This is why I try to find apps that don't need internet access to work. Local First is always going to be my top priority when it's looking for applications. And I don't think that it's hard to actually hit, honestly. I don't think it's that hard. It's actually quite easy. And I've learned that if you take a little bit of time out of your day, you will definitely find stuff that definitely make your life much easier than worse. Like I said, I was in a different country, and I had, you know, access to my maps no matter where. Obviously, it's good to get, you know, familiar with your area, and obviously if I lose my device, then I'm fucked, but I just think that it's something to put in the back of your head. If you're listening to this and you're in a country where you need the ability to do that, I would definitely look at it. I would definitely look at just MP3 player, owning your media, buying your media, putting it on there. Put it on a flash drive if you have to. You know, your movie's on a flash drive. Carry it with you. That's something to keep in mind. Because if you do that, you eventually become more independent, digitally self-sovereign, and you have a better experience. I know this is kind of like a long 42-minute rant, and I hope that everyone gets through it. It's not like, you know, very scripted, but it was just something that I thought about because I'm starting to see more and more as people's physical media get ripped from them or removed from a platform and then given to another platform, and it was a subscription they didn't have, and then they have to sign up for it. And just like my music, like just in the last year, because I came across some vintage tech company, like not companies, but like YouTube channels, where I'm like, wow, that's great. Actually, I can actually sit there and put my media on a fucking flash drive, and just have a headphone jack and just listen to it, and I'm just not distracted from my phone, and I'm just listening to music. And sometimes even when I'm just studying, like when I'm studying on like my laptop and everything, it just separates it from YouTube, and I just have a nice background track in my ear, and I save my laptop's battery. I've saved my phone's battery. It's definitely been a good compartmentalization in general. I think that also just looking at the cost of everything in terms of like subscriptions is just irritated. It's like irritated me to the core. So I think that if we start rejecting these companies, they will maybe lower their prices for the people that would want to keep it. Look, I have no problem with these digital creators trying to make money, and I understand some of them make a living on Spotify and whatever, but also buying their CDs help them make a living too. I mean, it's really not that complex. But I'll see you guys in the next one. I hope you all have a wonderful afternoon. Make sure you share with your friends and like it for the algorithm, or share for the algorithm, or whatever, or don't. See ya.